You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Consumption is inevitable, but there's a method of consumption that gives back to communities. Social enterprises are part of ethical consumption, and while some of them, like Girl Guides and charity thrift stores, have been around for a long time, more and more people are becoming aware of how this business model can be turned into a profit for society. Joining us now to talk more about what social enterprises are and what effect they're having on communities is David LePage. David is the program manager at Enterprising Nonprofits. Good morning and welcome to Red Eye, David.
Great. Thank you, Sean.
Now, what is a social enterprise and how does it work?
Well, the simplest way to understand social enterprise is a business that is operated by a nonprofit for the dual purpose, one, selling products or services generates income, and at the same time creating a social, cultural, or environmental value. So it's a business owned by a nonprofit for the dual purpose of generating income through sales and creating a social value.
Now, I understand there's something called the triple bottom line. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, we actually prefer to discuss the blended value return on investment. Triple bottom line is often used in the private sector to talk about the economic, environmental, and social returns or impacts that a business has. But we find more beneficial to talk about a blended value bottom line because it integrates much more the social and the economic values. So you're looking at not only how well are you doing as a business, but simultaneously how well you're doing in terms of fulfilling your social mission. Triple bottom line, oftentimes in the private sector, the environmental or the social impacts are done more with a negative screen of not doing damage. And we try to look at the blended value bottom line of how do you create more opportunities.
And how does that model look?
Well, when you look at, you know, some of the social enterprises that are around British Columbia and the Lower Mainland, you look at like Potluck Catering in the downtown Eastside, runs a very, you know, good business, probably over $1 million a year in catering revenues, but they also employ residents from the downtown Eastside, and they provide low-cost and meals in the community. So they're creating, by running their catering company, they're creating jobs for marginalized community members and creating social value through affordable meals in the community.
Now, traditionally, government has been the main funder for many nonprofit societies. How do social enterprises affect the role that government plays?
Well, hopefully, it leverages more government support. And actually, I mean, there will be some nonprofits in some areas that are never going to, you know, social enterprise is not the correct model for them at all. I think social enterprise works for some nonprofits. It does not work for others. And I think there's always going to be a role where government and the private sector and the community sector work together to address community needs. And, you know, social enterprises is not about trying to replace government funding, but in fact, it's about how do we leverage, you know, greater funds because of the increased success. And, you know, if we look at the article that was in the Vancouver Sun this morning, the survey of nonprofits across British Columbia, all of, you know, it was like 80% had experienced some drop in revenues in the past year. And so hopefully social enterprise is just one more tool for nonprofits. It's not an end in itself. It's just a means for nonprofits to achieve what they're trying to do.
And now you say it works for some nonprofits. It doesn't work for other nonprofits. Can you tell us a little bit more about why it works for some and it doesn't work for others?
Well, if you're running like a food bank, there's usually not an economic, you know, there's not a business there. It's really about meeting the immediate needs of individuals. Mm-hmm. If you're running, you know, affordable housing, you're trying to keep your cost, the rental cost, as low as possible. So you're running it as a business, but you're not looking at it, revenue-generating kind of model. If you're running some health clinics or counseling services, are not going to be revenue-producing services. There's not a market there. It's really meeting a need. Whereas if you're wanting to create employment opportunities for people with disabilities, then social enterprise works really well because you run a business that requires employees, like the cleaning solution, a commercial janitorial service, employs individuals with mental health issues, and provides for them a supportive work environment and opportunity to be included and to have friends and to get a paycheck. But so that works in that situation. But it's in some nonprofit situations where it's providing, you know, counseling services or health services, it's not necessarily going to be a business model.
Now, how has the move to social enterprise aided the nonprofit sector, or has it aided the nonprofit sector?
Well, I think first we should point out that the social enterprise term may be new, but the fact that communities have been using, you know, different models to bring services to the community for a long time. I mean, Co-op Radio is a nonprofit, right?
Yes, it is.
And how long have you been there? I think the first time I visited when I was here in 1985 for a conference.
I think Co-op Radio has been here for about 30 years.
Okay, so yeah, there's a social enterprise that, you know, you provide a service to the community supports it through contributions, and then you provide arts and culture and information source. Thrift stores have been around forever. If you look at the arts, many of the arts organizations that have been around for many, many years are operated by nonprofits, and they sell tickets to the public as a means of generating income, and then they provide a cultural value and a social value as well. Thrift stores have been around. And if you go back to the mid-1800s, many communities started to use, you know, a co-op model or a nonprofit model to ensure that, you know, local market needs were met. So the term social enterprise, I think, is new. The activity isn't that new at all. How has it helped? I think that clearly there are some groups like Atira Women's Resources, which is a charity providing services for women. They own Atira Property Management. The profits from that property management company support the activities of the charity, which allows them to be more diverse in what they can offer in terms of services. If you look at the Development Disabilities Association that works with individuals with development disabilities, and they have a light manufacturing and collating service, fulfillment service, that employs over 50 people with disabilities. It's another way for them, for DDA, the Development Disabilities Association, to provide services to the many families and individuals they work with. So it extends, for some groups, their ability to fulfill their mission, and for others, it's a means to generate income so they can do a better job of what they're doing.
And how is it good for consumers?
Well, I think, you know, when you take a lot of social enterprises, they're actually business-to-business services. So if you take a company, let's say, like SAP Business Objects, which doesn't employ marginalized individuals, they employ, you know, software writers, and but they can use their purchasing. So they purchase their catering from Potluck and Have, social enterprises in the downtown east side. So the value it brings to them as a business is that it allows that business to incorporate corporate social responsible activities in their purchasing, which, you know, brings greater value. So from a consumer perspective, whether intentionally or unintentionally, everything you purchase has an impact. And if you can spend your dollars at a social enterprise, then you're not only getting the value of the product, but you're also contributing to the creation of social value as well.
And you've mentioned a couple of examples, potluck catering. Are there any other good examples of or successful examples of social enterprises in Canada?
Oh, yeah, you can look across Canada, and if, you know, like in the province of Quebec would probably be by far the most significant social enterprise and social economy example in Canada. The provincial government since the mid-90s has been very supportive of the development. They've had great leadership with people like Nancy Niemtum and the Chantier de l'Économie Sociale. And those groups have actually really built a very strong culture of social enterprise across the province. If you go to Toronto, the Toronto Enterprise Fund supports groups like Eva's Phoenix Printing, which trains youth at risk in the printing industry. If you go to Winnipeg, Inner City Renovations, a very successful social enterprise that does construction and trains, you know, inner city residents in the trades. So yeah, no, across Canada there's just multiple examples of successful social enterprise in urban as well as rural communities. So you go to a small community like Trail, and there's a small social enterprise, The Right Stuff. It employs youth at risk in working for the newspaper publisher to get the collation and prepare the paper for distribution. And it works with kids who, you know, just don't fit the school system or the normal employment training model.
And what do you think the future holds for social enterprises, David? Are we going to see an expansion here?
I definitely think there will be an expansion. And I think what's happening is in the nonprofit sector, people are beginning to realize that the reliance on government and foundations has to be broader than that. There has to be more diverse sources of income, more diverse ways of delivering on their mission, and that a business model actually can be one option to consider. I mean, we have to remember social enterprise is not the objective. Social enterprise is a means. So we look at social enterprise not as like that's what we're trying to do is create more social enterprises. No, we're actually trying to create healthier nonprofits that contribute to building healthy communities. So are we going to see more of it? I hope so, if it helps build community. And I think we're also seeing from government and the private sector that they're starting to realize that with their purchasing, they can actually be more effective in terms of not just looking at the cheapest product to buy, but also looking at how they can get good quality products at a competitive price and create social value by purchasing from social enterprises.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time to talk with us today, David.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I've been speaking with David LePage. He is the Program Manager for Enterprising Nonprofits here in Vancouver. You can find out more by visiting their website at enterprisingnonprofits.ca.